Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Stone Payton, Katie Galley here with you this morning. Our fearless leader and CEO, the whole shebang, conspicuously not with us, but he's doing his patriotic duty today. He is on jury duty.
That he is.
But he only marked off one day from the calendar, so I don't know if he is like trying to not get picked. I mean, don't trials last more than a day?
Maybe he's being overly optimistic.
Anyway, you and I, we're here in the salt mines. We're getting it done. Mm-hmm. We're meeting the mission. This is going to be a fantastic show. A little bit later in the program, 50-50 chance we're going to visit with someone else.
Yes, that's true.
But that's all right. The headliner right now, that's what we're focused on.
Yes.
All right. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO with Das Salon and Spas, Mr. Don Shaw. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you in the studio this morning. I think I know intellectually, generally, what a salon and spa might be, but I'd rather hear it from you. What are you doing to serve folks, man? What are you
up
to?
We're in the hair industry and hair cutting, any services that is related to beauty. You know, we're in malls. I believe that the beauty industry is real estate. You know, well, that's just the way I look at it. You know, it's real estate. Location, location, location. Because in our industry, it's strictly about the employee, you know, more so than the client. Because if you've got great employees, you got a lot of clients. But if you don't have good employees and if you don't have the right trained employees, it's very difficult to keep a clientele. You know, basically every 25 clients that come into a beauty salon store, you only keep 2.5.
Ouch. That's got to be expensive.
Well, it is expensive. Yeah. That's why you got to be in the right real estate or you're dead. You know, you get your legs hanging off of you quick. So it's an interesting, it's a very interesting business because it's a numbers business. You know, because it's all about your business plan, you know, money per square foot, just like any business. That's the way we run our business. You know, it's we build places to hire young people. And if you can hire young people and train young people, especially naturals, because if you're natural at it, you're easy to train. If you're not natural at it, you got to put a lot of money in it. So, you know, then the numbers don't start working. So it's an interesting business because if you look around the room here, everybody has hair.
We're in the hair business. Some of us are younger than others, yeah, but we all do have hair.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the way it goes. But we're a very, very interesting business. You know, men is barbering is really starting to make a big push because barbering now has become male image. So we're all looking at that. And then we also, our company is in different product lines too. We manufacture. We manufacture our color. We manufacture everything that we use. We don't, there's no middleman with us.
Wow. Yeah. And there's probably margin. Do you also have like retail product that you sell someone walking out the door?
Absolutely.
There's probably some pretty handsome margin.
Absolutely. We're on Amazon, you know. You got to do it all these days. You know, you can't, because the beauty industry is a cash flow business. It's not an equity business. That's the first thing you have to understand, that service is cash flow, you know. And when you work in cash flow, it's very different than equity, you know. So it's a different industry. You know, and you have to really, really know your numbers because it's about how many people you can put in a seat, you know, because in barbering runs virtually $1 to $1.30 a minute. That's how a barber, you figure their pricing. Women can run, the younger market runs around $1 to $1.50 a minute. and your price range in that point. You know, a kid that with education's graduating, you can look at them virtually as $1 to $1.50 per minute. You know, and then you start.
I wish we had our business, Neil. Do you have any idea what the radio business runs?
I do not. I have no idea.
Man. <That's it. laughs> So you got more hair than anybody in the room. What do you think about this?
I mean, it's really interesting what you said about how you're focusing, or the focus seems primarily on the employee rather than the clientele. Is it just because
always
there's so much more turnover? I mean, and you said
no,
like men
it's
versus
just,
women?
Or? If you've got the right employee, you've got a busy employee. If you don't have the right employee, you can't drag a person in the door, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's strictly about the employee.
Yeah. And it's funny because my mom, she will find a stylist that she likes and she will drive forever when she finds this person. I mean, we used to live up in Canton and she will drive an hour to go to this one person. And my sister's the same way.
It's the right employee.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the right employee and it's all about the client because the beauty industry is 60-40. It's just like any other business. It's 60% experience, 40% product. You know, because if you've got a great experience, you know, the product might not be the first time exactly what you want, but I'm going to give you a chance to work it out. Okay. But if the experience, if it's 40-60, they don't come back. You know, it's not for them. It's like going to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant, you had a great experience. Food wasn't quite right, but you went back again for the experience, you know, because the experience was all about you.
Okay, I got to know the backstory, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I did not peg you in the hallway for being in the beauty business.
That's okay.
Well, how did you land in this work?
Well, my brother, Jameson Shaw, we've been in town here for about 65 years. I've been in the business 58 years here in the city. And my brother was a barber in the Air Force. You know, and so it kind of, none of us were educated. None of us finished high school. And that's kind of, we were service people, you know. So basically, it's a service business, you know. And you have to understand you're a servant. A lot of people don't understand that. You know, if service business, you're a servant to whoever you're taking money from. So, you know, that's kind of the way it evolved for us, you know. And we had the opportunity that when we started, where there was only 6 male hairdressers in the city, you know.
Wow.
And we were part of it. So you go back, we had the opportunity to see and do and be a part of something that was starting. So we understood real quick that it was strictly real estate, you know. It was strictly about real estate because if you didn't have the right real estate and you didn't have parking, you know, and it's just all evolving now. You know, that's why I'm in malls because malls are, they're parking, they're security, they're heated, and they're air, you know, and you have an opportunity to have different things to eat, a shop where you buy or not, you know, it sticks to bricks. So it's a very interesting business, you know, and it's a business. It's nothing to play with, you know. It's strictly a business, and you have to stay on top of it, or it'll eat you up, you know.
And so, when you did start, there was only 6 male hairdressers, hair stylists. So was it difficult for you to kind of break that barrier, bridge that gap? Attract women clients?
No. You had really a better opportunity of being busy. You know, one of my first clients was a lady that the family owned First National Bank. You know, she taught me how to write my first check at First National Bank at 17th and Peachtree. She took me upstairs and helped me open a checking account. And then she said, look, Don, if you'll save $1 a week, you know, after a while we see your opportunity, you can borrow money. And I said to her, well, what window is that? You know, which window I go to borrow money? So, no, it's it was very easy for male hairdressers back then.
Okay.
You know.
And so you said you're entering into malls and you're expanding. So what do you see the trajectory of your business going now?
Well, malls are taking a hit kind of right now. I think developers are going to start looking, instead of base rents, they're going to be looking at percentage rents only. We're seeing those things happen. And, you know, tied to your percentage rents, you have to put so much into advertising to advertise your business to be able to get the base rent. Mm-hmm. So malls have to have entertainment and they have to have service. Those are two most important things now. If they don't have entertainment, I think to draw in the young people, and then they have to have service to bring in the money client. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot going on right now that if you just step back and study who the client is and what the client is and what do they want, and you be able to supply that that piece of thread that holds that fabric together, I think that you will do well. You know, if you look around, there's people everywhere. I mean, you know, it's like ants, you know.
And a lot of them have hair.
Yeah, all of them have hair, all but a few. And you can do business if you do business the way business needs to be done. You know, if not, you're out of business. Or it comes back to the employee.
Have you always been as diligent as you seem to indicate when you describe specific numbers like $1, $1.50 a minute? Have you always been that diligent about capturing your numbers?
It's your business plan, you know. When you build a beauty salon, it's basically 100 square foot per employee, okay? Because if within that 100 square feet, you can have a chair, you can have a mirror, you can have a shampoo bowl, you can have a front desk, you can have a bathroom, you can have a change room, you can have a utility room. All of it equates into 100 square feet, okay? So when you go to rent something, it'll tell you real quick the kind of numbers you have to do to pay the rent or to pay whatever the business plan is. You know, most people don't look under every rock. You got to look under every rock because that's the rock's going to take your legs off of you. You know, so you have to, it's about numbers. It's about how many butts are you going to put in that seat right there and at what period of time and what it has to produce. And once you look at that, you'll know what you have to charge. You'll know the rent will tell you everything. We have a saying that if our rent is $15,000 a month, we have to do $15,000 a day. Okay, that'll give us anywhere from a 16% to 21% bottom line net. Okay, if we can captivate our numbers and stay in those numbers, that whatever your rent is a month, that you can stay. If you can do it a day, you got your numbers. And we only do gross up leases. You know, we don't do lease plus, da 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 da. I want a gross up lease. In other words, I want to see exactly, is this a bottle or a
you don't
bottle?
Know what that
or
number is
this a bottle with 10 caps? You know, so that's the way we run our business.
Now, do you ever find yourself, now that you've grown like you have, you're obviously really good at this, you have a knack for it, you understand the virtue of these disciplines. Do you find yourself now in a position of transferring this mindset to other people running other locations?
My sons, my wife's in the business. Everybody's in the business because it takes care of everybody. We're more in the product business now because mm-hmm. we just launched a new line, Oak for Men, that's Amazon. We are starting off with 7 products because we think the next 10 years is strictly mm-hmm. going to be a men drive. And we see the numbers and I've got the right people that run the company. And we've got the right circle because making products is like who makes the cap, bottle, who fills it, your formulation. And it has to be a wheel that's turning all the time because if you sell something, you got to replace something. So it becomes a big wheel. We've got the right investors involved. Hair products are extremely lucrative because there's great margins, but there's a lot of upfront to it too. And it's all about the core, your core people that run the company, that understands marketing, you know, which internet is strictly how much money are you going to put behind the marketing, you know, to drive the pipeline, you know. We've got three other lines that we do our own hair color. We have 87 different shades of hair color that we sell a lot in Russia. We manufacture.
Oh, all over the world you're doing this.
Yeah.
And men are buying more of this stuff than they did in the old days. Is that true?
Absolutely. Well, there's more hair color sold in China and India than anywhere in the world. Do you ever see anyone in China that has gray hair?
No, I hadn't thought about it, but no, you don't. They're
it's always dark. It's always his color.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we sell everywhere.
By the way, for those of you out there listening, our financial transaction guy, who's going to come up in a little while, he's been nodding his head during this entire segment. So obviously Don knows a thing or two, doesn't he?
Not really.
I see a male hairdresser. Yes, I do. And he does my wife's hair too. We finally found the guy we love.
We were talking about that earlier. I mean, the importance of hiring the right people and I mean, surrounding, ingraining them within your company. So to that point, what would you say is the most important quality you look for when you hire someone? And you spoke to
self-image, strictly self-image, you know, and I don't care who you are. When you walk in the store, it's the image that you have for yourself. You know, I mean, it's strictly about how you prepare yourself, the way you greet people, the way you look, if you're in a fashion industry or any industry, it's strictly self-image because people tie themselves to someone that has a great image, mm-hmm. you know, that they either want to look like, be like, or mimic in some form. It's strictly image and the way people handle themselves, you know. It doesn't take to have education. I think it's just, that's the way you treat yourself, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. That's just the way you treat yourself, you know. And that's what people, they pay into that. They buy into it, you know. Yeah.
So how can we help? What do you need more of? You on the hunt for more really high quality people to bring into your circle? You want more employees? You want more investors?
I could take 100,000 more employees. You know, you hunt everything. You know, you got to listen to every deal. I don't care what the deal is. If it's so sour, it's unbelievable. You know, it has a fragrance to it. It might fit you, you know, or it might, you see how you could get other people involved in what you want to do. Keep your nose in the wind, you know. It's amazing. Keep your nose in the wind. Yeah. And it's all about money. You know, it's all about borrowing money. I think the keys, my grandkids, I'm trying to, all of them are going to go to college to be business and finance because it's about borrowing money, you know, because, you know, it's like, how do I get my money? When do I get my money? And what do I have to give you for you to let me have the money, you know? And the first thing is, what is your story? You know, everything has to have a story and has to go. My daddy used to say two things to me. You got to have a good story if you're going to borrow money. And that's going to take a hunk out of your butt. You'll never stop the bleeding. So, yeah, you know, we always
good advice.
Those things, you know. So it's about a story. If you can come up with the right story that really has legs to it, you can get investors. Because they're hunting. There's a lot of money out there right now.
And it's cheap today.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're looking to move it into different platforms that work.
Well, it sounds to me like you got plenty on your plate, but I think you ought to seriously consider getting out there and doing workshops and seminars for people that want to go into business. They need to hear somebody like you talk about the realities, the good, the bad, and the ugly of getting something going, keeping it going, controlling it. Building a succession plan, these are realities.
Well, it's the story and watch it. You got to watch it. You know, you always got to watch it because, as you know, it'll get away from you if you don't watch it. You have to nourish it. You just can't start something and look away from it. You know, you got to, it's heart. You got to, if it's your heart, it's pumping. you know, it's working. And people loan you money for your energy. Okay. Mm. They look at somebody and they look at what the story is, and they see what kind of energy is behind it and who's going to develop it. That's what people buy into. You know, I believe that's my belief. That's always because always when I've borrowed money, I have to go in front of committees because they just don't believe that the beauty industry can want to borrow that kind of money. You know,
but you've obviously cracked the code on it.
And well, yeah, you know, it's funny about when you borrow money from somebody. There's always somebody in the meeting that is negative. You know. About the story, and everybody, he can pull the trend towards them or she can't. You just always have to get up and go put your hands on them, you know, and then everybody looks at them and then they shut up.
See, this man's right. Got real advice. This guy's
Oh, yeah. Sage advice.
I know how to borrow money.
You're right. People have to feel your passion. Yeah, and if they have to feel the passion.
Absolutely. To buy into you, yeah.
All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more if they want to have a conversation with you, if they're interested in being an employee, or I'm serious, if they want to sign up for the Don Shaw seminar?
It's DOS.TV. You know, that's the salon website, you know.
DOS.TV, and it's DASS.
Right.
Well, Don, it has been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Man, that's inspiring and fun and informative. And I mean, real world, right? Hey, stay with us. We're going to visit with one other person, all right?
Absolutely.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us Vice President of Partner Management at, is it P-Pro? Am I saying that right?
P-Pro. You got it.
At P-Pro, Steve Viegas.
Viegas.
Man, that was close.
You were.
So close.
It was good.
I mean, your handlers, right, your staff, there. The paparazzi, they all prepped me. And I asked them specifically, how do I pronounce their name? They told me the proper way. And I'd still screwed it up.
But. And obviously, punctuation wasn't part of the deal for me this morning. And those that are local native Atlantans know traffic here anytime it rains.
Yeah, it was
I
so
even
bad.
Gave
today.
An extra 15 minutes. Yeah. Still didn't quite make it on time.
That's right. Yeah. So Stone and Steve are going to give each other a little grace.
There you go. Appreciate it.
Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Steve Viegas.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell us about P-Pro. It's connected in some way, like apparently everything under the sun, according to Don.
It is.
To money.
It is. Yeah. It all comes back to money, right, Don? And it's really interesting. Some of the things he was talking about will intertwine with what P-Pro does today. So P-Pro, company that's based out of Europe. We recently opened the office here in Atlanta for a variety of reasons. But just on a highest level, P-Pro helps companies get paid across the world. And if you look at the global economies, there are a lot of things happening. We deal in the e-commerce world. You talked about Amazon, and we're in the e-commerce space primarily. And where we focus is on helping connect people to local payment methods, merchants connected to local payment methods in other countries. And so what we've developed is a model that we aggregate basically all these local payment methods. And we work with some of the largest acquirers, which we'll talk a little bit about why we're here in Atlanta as well in a little bit. But the largest acquirers in the world, we partner with, and we provide them access to all of these local payment methods so they can give their merchants access so they can sell their products and services around the world. And it's really from a simplification, from a technology standpoint to contractualization, to the actual payment reconciliation. We provide all the services to really make it easy for companies to do business around the world.
So then why did you choose Atlanta? Why was it so important to come here to set up a hub?
Sure. So the company's based out of Europe, started in Europe, really developed out of that base initially, working with some of the largest payment providers, payment service providers and acquirers in Europe. But that expanded across to the U.S. So here in the U.S., we work with the majority of the large acquirers, folks like First Data and Elavon and Global Payments and Vantiv, now WorldPay. All of those companies we partner with, as well as some other ones, some large, very large PSPs like Stripe, some people may know of, and some other companies on the West Coast. So it was important for us to, first of all, be able to provide the right support for our partners. And from an Atlanta perspective, this is the hub of payments. It's I think Silicon Valley thinks it has a lot on technology, but this is where payments live. This is the fintech. What I believe is the fintech society is, you know, the base, the foundation is here in Atlanta. So our company recognized that, first of all, we had a lot of partners that were based here in Atlanta. Secondly, it really is the fintech hub of the U.S. And third, there's a wealth of experience and knowledge here. And lastly, I'll say for our folks in Europe that have to travel a lot, this is really a good base to fly directly from either our Munich office or our London headquarters. So it just made a lot of sense for Atlanta to become our U.S. base.
So why at this time did you guys decide to come to Atlanta? Why was the timing right?
So our partnerships are just blossoming. So I'll talk a little about the kind of the background and the payment schemes. All of us here in the U.S. are very card centric. If I pull out my wallet, I have Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Some people have Discover. That's how we think operate. And there's a handful of countries around the world. That's how they operate as well. Going around the global economies, if you look at it, there are so many other payment methods out there that we've never heard of. I didn't hear of, I knew of some of them, but the breadth of those until I joined PPRO, didn't recognize those. Because the way that the global economies are growing, we began to partner with the companies here in the US, with our partners, to provide their merchants access to these local payment methods. And it really comes down to timing. So when you look at our partners and where they're growing in the global economies and providing their merchants who are big e-commerce companies to even to small e-commerce companies that are selling products across the world, it's really about timing. And now is the right time for us to fully support our partners and be able to come over. And as they're growing in their global e-commerce and being able to connect to these local payment methods for their merchants, it really made a lot of sense for us now to come here.
Are these different cards? These are different... So things like a Stripe.
Yeah, so let me tell you what they are. So if you go to Europe, much of Europe, as an example, uses what are called bank transfer methods. So you think about online bill pay, what we do today. You know, usually you make an online bill, you give your bank authorization to send a payment to your electric company or whoever, right? Well, this bank transfer method in Europe is much like real-time online bank pay or online banking. And basically what you're doing is you're making an e-commerce transaction and you are putting in your bank authorization information, much like you would do in your login to your banking, and you're giving the e-commerce merchant authorization to go to your bank account by using your credentials, basically. And it's an overlay. So that's one platform that much of Europe uses. There's a standard protocol system over there called SEPA that much use. And then there's other methods that you go around the world. Much of Asia uses wallets. So you've probably heard of Alipay. Alibaba owns Alipay. They've become big in the U.S. And part of it is because there's a, you know, over a billion people over in China that are doing shopping coming over here. And so Alipay is basically a wallet. And so consumers in Asia and in China specifically load these wallets. WeChat Pay is another one where they load these wallets with dollars from their own. Either they load it through a bank or through just any type of payment method to load it from cash, et cetera. And now they have dollars in this wallet. And they use that to buy e-commerce. So they buy locally.
Does it happen a lot quicker? Let me tell you why I ask. Because my experience, and Katie has heard me complain about this. I swear for a lot of these supposedly electronic funds transfer, I could get on a bicycle and take it out to San Francisco quicker than it gets. So do some of these systems get some of that done faster?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, some of them do. And part of it is... If you look at how the U.S. systems are set up, things like ACH is an example. It's basically a bank float, right? You're putting in ACH, right. And it takes a time. Each bank is collecting some daily residual.
A wee little dollars, bit, right? Overnight, they're gazillion collecting some is interest what they're doing,
in there,
right?
There's some interest being banked in there, sure. And there's a push right now for more open banking and real time ACH. So there's a push going on in the financial sectors. Who knows when that'll come about, but it'll happen sooner than later, both from a technology standpoint. You think of things like blockchain, those help drive processes to become more efficient and more secure. So there's things there are elements that are out there, but yeah, they do move quicker, except in the instance of, so another payment method that none of us are necessarily familiar with, unless you think about transferring or wiring money. There are cash transfer systems where somebody will actually buy something online. They get like a voucher or they get a ticket and they actually go pay it at the local convenience store in cash. And then that voucher becomes good, or that, you know, that payment becomes good with that e-commerce provider. There's a lot of LATAM that does that, right? Very, and there's, you know, Southeast Asia, there's a lot of cash-based societies where that becomes the way that they do e-commerce. But I think what's happening is with the with our devices, our smartphones, and that becoming the proliferation across the world, especially in developing nations, where they've kind of leapfrogged what we know as the internet and, you know, computer-based internet, where it's now becoming more mobile, where a lot of the shopping is now going to our their devices. And so that's where a lot of the e-commerce growth is happening. We see growth across regions where it's large double-digit growth. Malaysia, Vietnam, China, of course, still is up there in the 20% plus. Where you look at, we are, you know, our e-commerce grows at double digits, but it's 10, 12, 13% growth here in the U.S. from an e-commerce standpoint. The other, the growing nations across the world are much larger than that, threefold that. And so there's a lot of dollars out there floating around from other economies.
So how are we, I mean, just in the United States, and how are we trying to play catch up? Are we trying to, you know, get on the front end of that trend?
So we know we're always the leader. We are the leader of the world financially. Mm-hmm. Although mm-hmm. I think many people would argue that China is catching up in a lot of ways because of their what they've done from an economic standpoint. So I think it's two things. One is we want to look at how do we sell more products and services in the U.S. around the world. And that's really what YP Pro is here in the U.S., why we're supporting our partners here in the U.S. so they can provide their e-commerce merchants here in the U.S. more access to these global economies. Because if you go to New Zealand, if you go to Germany, and you try to offer your products over in those countries, and you only accept cards, credit cards, mm-hmm. you have a very, very poor purchase rate because they don't use credit cards there. So this is really becoming more, it's becoming smarter. I mean, obviously there's a marketing element in those countries, but it's becoming smarter in being able to provide that local payment method. So if a consumer wants to buy a US product, it becomes really easy. All I do is I know my local payment method. Oh, good. It's available here. When I buy this product and service, boom, it's done. And so that's really what, you know, you talk about, not necessarily catch up as much as it is being able to provide the resources so e-commerce merchants in the US can take advantage of a globalization, basically.
All right, let's sell some hair color.
Yeah,
here, okay.
There you go.
So, are you working directly with Don, or are you working with someone working with?
we work with somebody that he works with. So we're a white labeled solution for our partners. So you take the First Datas of the world, the Elevons, the
services.
Yeah, exactly. So we are a back end service. We provide We sit on the back end and we provide our partners who are the local acquirers or payment processors, as some people know them, and we provide them the connectivity. So if Don's selling e-commerce products, he can plug in and provide, if he wants to sell it to somebody in China, you can offer Alipay to the Chinese or WeChat Pay, and they can use their Alipay.
And
or
he
WeChat
doesn't have to worry about it because he knows his provider is getting all this handled because they're partnering with you.
Exactly.
And they have a distinct competitive advantage, I would think, when they go to the Dons of the world because, you know, look, we've got this whole China thing locked and loaded. Absolutely. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's really the next guidance of growth in e-commerce is looking at the global economy and figuring out how do we lay longer bridges across the way to collect more revenues in other areas. And so, it goes. I'll also say this: so it also goes into those countries, right? So they want to buy other products around the world as well. So we're providing them access throughout from our partnerships. So people in whether it's Chinese buying here or Chinese buying to another country, let's say Brazil, where they use Boleta, being able to, for the global economies to have access to each other's products and services from an e-commerce standpoint.
So what are your objectives while you're here? Like, what are you going to do Thursday? you got some stuff set up that I'm going to get this done over the next whatever.
Yeah, it's big. So we're establishing this office here primarily to support our partnerships. And number one is that's our number one goal is to make sure that we have a presence here. We're supporting our partnerships. I'm actually on a flight to San Francisco this afternoon. We have three large partners that do billions in payment volume that we're visiting tomorrow. We have two meetings. Wednesday, we have another meeting, and then there's some other meetings set up. So we're on the road a lot, providing the service, partnering with them. So that's first and foremost, making sure that we're providing the best support to our partners, whether it's looking at additional. So some of them, they may use a dozen alternative payment methods, is what we call these local payment schemes around the world. They may use a dozen today, but we provide them market intelligence around these growing markets to say, hey, you really should consider this market. Or we collaborate with them and we talk about where they're seeing some traffic and what this is all called cross-border traffic, right? So they may see some of their merchants may be seeing traffic come from, let's say it's Bolivia or, you know, Uruguay or something like that, where they use a different payment method, and we're able to come in and say, you should consider these, adding these payment methods. And then they get that on the roadmap. They connect it to, and it's already connected in our systems. We're able to provide that service. So that's part of what we're doing. Obviously, business reviews and a variety of things. Secondly, though, we want to make sure as we support them, we're hiring the right people here in Atlanta. And obviously, one of the reasons we came to Atlanta is because it is a payments hub. There are a lot of payment professionals here, people that understand the industry. And it's important that we do find the right resources, whether it's somebody helping us from an integration consultant standpoint or account management.
Universities.
Or, yeah, absolutely. We actually, we're in Midtown. Our office is Midtown, not far from Georgia Tech, right around the corner. So absolutely. Part of the reason for putting it there was for
nice move.
Georgia Tech.
You know, that Atlanta, I heard, was second in the nation, second behind Boston for the amount of universities in the city.
Is that right?
Yeah, you count it up. I think there's either 13 or 14 universities in Atlanta, Decatur, Marietta. You count them all up.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I believe it. The amount of people. That's why Amazon's going to come here. You watch.
they're going to take
the AT&T building. You watch on West Beach Street.
Well, we know, and we've heard several guests talk about this being transactionality. You know, they've got there's a FinTech powwow coming up in a month or two. We're doing a remote broadcast from there.
We are.
You know, we being you.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to walk the halls.
We will see you there. Yeah. We have a speaking engagement there. Our CEO, Simon Black, will be doing a presentation there, as well as we will be set up to meet our partners and various others in the FinTech community.
Wow.
Oh, that'll
so we're
be
looking
fun.
Forward to that event, though. So we'll see you there as well.
Are you guys trying to enter into a lot of different things like that, events, so you can, promote people on what you guys are trying to do?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're involved in TAG, Technology Association of Georgia. And obviously, the FinTech is one of those spinoffs. We also are part of Money 2020. And here in the Atlanta area, anything that we can be a part of to help ensure that our presence is known, and we're partnering. Obviously, our partners are here working with them to provide more of a knowledge base, as well as, again, further support and to try to be an industry expert in this world of alternative payments or, you know, other schemes, local schemes internationally. So that's really what we want to be, is the knowledge base for that, to providing information. One of the things we do every year, actually twice a year, we provide reports, global reports. And we have this thing we call the Almanac. It sounds pretty boring, but if you look in it, it actually provides provides the top 300 payment methods around the world. And it gives you every country and their payment preference, what their economies look like, how they buy e-commerce. And it provides all of this data. Yeah. And then we also regionalize it. So we're providing that information and data to our partners so they can help their merchants, and they're able to provide and be a source of intelligence as you look at the global economies.
Wow. And so is that a facet of PPRO that kind of sets you guys apart? I mean, having that data available?
I would say one of the largest things that sets us apart, is having the intelligence to be able to provide that back to our partners and to their merchants, and really to be a resource. And all of this is free materials that we provide to our partners.
Wow.
Again, we're a white labeled solution. So a lot of what we do is provide this information so they can turn it into however they want for their sales efforts and their growth efforts with their merchants.
All right. So short of getting our hands on some of this, I'll call it intellectual property. I mean, I think this is valuable stuff.
Yeah, we'll send you some.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, Joe, small business guy, you know, there's a business model up under all this here at Business Radio X. You got Don here. He's out there, you know, with his nose to the grindstone. As we're getting more and more in e-commerce, I can tell you, Business Radio X is, we're doing more and more with subscription models and recurring revenue for a lot of reasons, not the least of which people, investors, are, you know, kind of get enamored with that sometimes. At any rate, before today anyway, I don't even know what questions to ask or to consider as I'm looking at the people between me and you, the providers.
Sure.
So I don't know if you have any immediate direction or a place to point us, but the knowledge base at this moment is next to zero, and I'd love to provide as much help as we can to our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, certainly our website provides a wealth of knowledge. It's www.ppro.com. Certainly that's an area. Every acquirer should be familiar with PPRO, or their e-commerce business is familiar with PPRO. Mm-hmm. At least they're on the, especially on the larger scale of, you know, the when you start looking at their e-commerce divisions, They're going to be, they'll be familiar with us.
All right, here we go. And you got your marketing folks in the room with you. You want to be like Carfax, right? If I'm out there looking, Don and I are out there looking for this, you want the first question to be, what do you have, PPRA?
Right. Exactly.
Show me the Carfax.
Anybody that's interested in looking at, I agree with you. Anybody that's interested in looking at global e-commerce or trying to go across border and sell their products and services, this is something they need to consider is how am I going to sell my product into another country? And then in that other country, what payment local schemes do they generally use? Is this a good market for me to go in? Meaning, do they have access to the internet? You know, how do they buy from an e-commerce standpoint? And those are considerations to ask. And they should be able to ask their provider, their acquirer, or their payment service provider those questions. And we help in answering those. But again, what we want to do is provide that global knowledge. So either through our site or through education, through sessions like at FinTech, mm-hmm. SimFinTech South or Money 2020 or any tag events. These are things that we want to continue to provide our education and information in to help make people more educated around what's happening in the global economy.
All right. So beyond Katie interviewing your best clients and your most coveted prospects at this big gathering we're all going to have while we're doing the remote, you guys can work that out.
There you go.
What can we be doing for you, man? What do you need?
I think as we look at Atlanta and some of our, because we have some of the larger partners here, I think on the merchant side, right, whether it's some of the larger companies that are here that have their global base here, making them aware of it, right? So I think us continuing to both from an SMB all the way to the very large merchants, making them aware that this is available. In the past, and just to give you a little perspective on this, in the past, if you were going to, and I'm going to throw out some names that no one will be familiar, a few people with. So there's payment methods like Sofort or GiroPay or Ideal. Those are things that most of us are not going to be familiar with. Those are a couple of local payment schemes in Europe. In the past, what would happen is if a merchant wanted to go there, they would either have to, a very large merchant may do a direct integration to them, but they'd have to have a local entity in that country. Or in the EU as an example, or they could go to their payment service provider and they would have to have an integration. So you think about today, PPRA, we provide support to over 140 payment methods around the world.
Wow.
And there's literally 1,000 different payment methods, but there's probably 300 meaningful ones.
Right.
We take the top 140, which 140 plus, which make up about 70% of the e-commerce volume around the world. When you look at that, having access to all of those, if a merchant or a payment service provider goes to and tries to connect to those, even with APIs today, that's still a lot of integration work. And Don, you know, anytime you have anything that deals with technology, it's never very quick to get anything implemented, right? You guys know here at the radio station, right? If you want a new technology, it can happen, but it's on the roadmap or it's on the prioritization map. And the same thing happens with these payment schemes is it's hard to get to. So we want to make sure people understand that there is a way to easily access these now through PPRA, through their payment provider, that we're going to be able to enable them to have access to these local payment schemes across the world. And really, as you think about what's happening in the world, globalization from an e-commerce standpoint. So you can help us to publish that message and to make sure people are more aware and that PPRA is here in the US to help support all the merchant base and all the partnerships that we have here in the US.
All right, Katie, you'll get it done, won't you, babe?
Gotcha.
Yeah, and we'll definitely connect for FinTech South, and we have several partners we can align to have a conversation with.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll connect before the event.
Yeah.
No, that'll make for great programming. Yeah, I mean, everybody wins on that, sure, right? Yeah. We'll get good programming. You'll get a chance. So I like that idea a lot. What a fantastic time to be alive! I mean, the world is just getting smaller in so many respects, right? But then the pie is getting bigger. I can't imagine living in any other time in history. This is fantastic.
Well, and one thing I'll mention, just as a kind of a side note from a technology standpoint, just, you know, I think one of the things we didn't necessarily talk about is the convergence of, and you asked, hey, how do you, as you guys, you've got a reoccurring model, right? And there's a lot of things that had taken place in the payments industry over the last several years. One of that was the introduction of reoccurring models and being able to have reoccurring revenue. There's this integration of once upon a time, e-commerce was e-commerce and POS was POS. there's now a very big convergence going on. And you could say things like Apple Pay have kind of made that where you have a card within a wallet, but you walk up to a device. And there's this convergence of e-commerce and card present or card not present that are happening. And I think as that technology continues to take place, more and more, you're going to have it, buy it a few minutes before I get there on my phone so I can go pick it up because I just made an instant decision. So there's going to be this convergence of those things. And that's really what's, I think, happening in our e-commerce world, in our local world even. And that's going to happen around the world as well. So these local payment methods can become as important as you have more people that are traveling, more foreign folks that are foreign nationals that are coming in, either from a tourist perspective or deciding to move here in this great nation of ours. And that's the payment method they're used to using. So I think we're going to see more and more of this take place.
So you're a one-stop shop.
That's correct. Yeah. We actually, we negotiate all the contracts with each of these payment schemes. And then we offer our partners wholesale rates. And then we provide the one connectivity. So it's one integration for our partners to connect to. And then lastly...
Worldwide.
Yep. And then one of the challenges that a lot of partners have is the reconciliation, because first of all, you're dealing in multiple currencies,
yeah,
right? And then you're also dealing with different frequencies of payment.
Right.
Some of these are, we're used to daily payment here in the US, right? Next day funding or a couple day funding for card transactions for merchants, as you're aware of, Don. And some of these payment schemes do it weekly. There's a few that do it depending on how remote they are. Some of them do it monthly. So there's things that we have to take into consideration. So we provide full reconciliation for our partners as well, so they can ingest the funding and the settlement files and provide businesses like yours, Don, with the appropriate reporting back. So you're able to do your own reconciliation.
Where's my money?
Exactly. That's always the question.
Well, we've established Don does like to stay on top of the numbers.
Exactly.
We set that up from the beginning. But the key to this, or one of the major keys to this, is to the end user consumer. It's, I don't know what the right word is, transparent, fluid, seamless. It's just easy. And I can tell you, we've had more than a few of these retail practice areas from the big consulting firms come in here and talk about how it's all playing together, the in-store experience, the e-commerce experience, how one feeds the other.
Yep.
So everything you're doing facilitates that whole marketing and service machine.
Yeah, it does. On the global side, it absolutely does.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming to hang out. One more time before we wrap, coordinates for you, for whomever may want to have a conversation with you or someone on your team, or website, yeah, whatever's appropriate.
So ppro.com, certainly. And we've, Kaylee's here from our PR marketing side.
And I must say, she's been flawless through the entire broadcast. Absolutely. I don't think she's made a single mistake during the entire. No, we got Media Frenzy here. We got Kaylee. We got, you brought your whole crew. Well, thanks so much for coming to join us, man.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity.
And thank you, Don, for coming in. This is...
Thank you.
This has been a lot. This beats the heck out of working, doesn't it?
It definitely does.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Katie Galley, our guest today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.